Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Lord, this is the beginning of the final week, kind of the last 8 days. Eight always stands for a new beginning, stands for the covenant. It stands for the fact that there is power in the blood of Jesus. It is part of fruitfulness, the very symbol of the year. And so, Lord, as we dig deeper into your word, bring the reality of Almighty God. As Moses came close to the burning bush and he said, I must go and look at this great sight. Never seen anything like it before. Never knew what would follow. Yet there is a God who loves us with fiery love, with intense love. And that love wants to do us good. All we need is to walk by faith, to receive the word, to know the one thing mankind needs to know, that those who seek the Lord, those who walk by faith, must believe that He is. Believe that He is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek You, O Lord. We must believe that You are. And the moment that dawns upon any soul, it changes conduct. Because now that person becomes accountable and responsible to the living God. To live a new life. To give birth to a new way of living. Help us through your word, through your spirit, through your love. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you very much. Thank you to the band and everybody that's here today. You know what? I'm going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3, and I want to focus in on a man called Moses. Again, I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're into the final week of the Daniel fast. This is now what I would call the high consecration week. We moved the fire conference to the end of the Daniel fast so that it ends on a very high note. And today and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I sent an SMS yesterday, said Monday, Tuesday. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There'll be plenty of intense communication, fellowship with God, and the flow and the move of the Holy Spirit. I'm really believing God to visit with us this year. And one more thing I need to say to you, that for those of you that wouldn't know and would be interested, it is what the Red Indians in America called a wolf moon tonight. In other words, the moon is in its, you get perigee and apogee. It's in perigee, it's close to the earth. It makes it extra big by 14%. And it is said that in those days, there's a lot of mythology about that. But when this silver white moon, full moon appears on the, on what they call a wolf moon, it's a full moon, then the wolves would howl at the moon. However, it moves on, and this is what makes it rare. It moves into the shadow of the earth just after 4 o'clock, about 4:28 tomorrow morning early, and something very rare happens. As you have sunrise, sunset, moonrise, moonset, and just that last half hour, you have a super blood moon that can be seen from home. So I'll definitely be up. I anyway get up early. I'll definitely be up and maybe take a camera with you, take a look at that, because that's extremely rare to see that in South Africa. So just take note of that and immediately into Exodus chapter number 3. Now, Here is a man called Moses. We won't go into his history too deep to save some time. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. By the way, Midian was one of the sons of Abraham. Okay? It was another son that was born to Abraham, and this is the land of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. God, coming into that bush, we went to Mount Horeb in the Sinai wilderness, and there is the Santa Catarina Monastery where there is the well of Moses, but there's also the burning bush. So they claim they've been there for, well, since almost after the ascension of Christ, of the very earliest Christians went and planted a monastery there at the base of the mountain. There's also on the other side, like cypress trees, and there you have the cave where Elijah was inside and spoke to God also. And if you go into the monastery of Santa Catarina, then you find there, you find a bush in the one corner, and that is known as the so-called original burning bush. And they've enclosed it with the walls of the monastery. And that thing doesn't just lives on. And whether supernatural or natural, it just lives on. And it looks like the happiest plant on earth, and it's as green as you can get it. And it was, if that is the bush that God's life went into, the thing never died, and today still is alive. And I was fascinated, stood at the well of Moses, looked at that bush, and I wondered if that was the original, but certainly a very good copy of it. It was not consumed. Now, chapter number 3 and verse 5. Then God said, "Do not draw near this place," as he approached the bush. "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." That means I've distinguished very clearly, recognized, acknowledged, and become intimately acquainted with their pains and their sorrows. Notice the pains and sorrows. We'll get to it. Now, verse number 8. "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you. Come now, therefore, and I will send you." Let's stop there before I do the rest of that reading and do a little bit of an exposition, which I think is necessary. You know, I'm reminded of Romans 11:29 that says, "The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, unrepentant, without changing of mind. Once God has released, called, and given a gift to someone, for he equips all people. Book of Hebrews talks about the gifts of God. Hebrews chapter number 2. That is a different word there. It's a Greek word, merimnao, which means literally distributions of the abilities of God through the Holy Spirit to mankind to function in one way or another. For clearly not all people are called with a calling like Moses experienced. Not all people are called with the same calling. That's very clear in the Bible. There is the so-called fivefold ministry calling: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then, of course, there are callings of administrations, people that give, like you've seen on the video. There are all kinds of callings where people like to minister to the aged, people like to go and do a hospital visitation, people like to be involved with home cells, which I always praise God for, because that's the body of Christ, life in action. And Moses had a call. And once God has made up his mind to call a human being, let me tell you here, there is no changing of God's mind. For God is not a man that he should change his mind. His thoughts are perfect. His choice is ultimately totally perfect. He knows and is intimately acquainted with any human being's abilities, capabilities, and what we in modern times call gift set, intellectual capacity, and other abilities, whichever they may be. Whatever we have not, he knows it all very well. I wrote something because I wrote this electronically. Life for every person, now we've got Moses as our model here, is to be viewed as a very purposeful school. Might I add to something I wrote, that few people understand that your life is actually a school. And that if you take the past tense of your life and you make a summary of what you were taught there and project it forward, you will most probably stumble across God's purpose for your life. Life is to be viewed as a very purposeful school, ever preparing one for a greater cause. Yet without understanding the extent of the cause or whereto it would lead. Life is a school to prepare us, every one of us, for a greater cause. Maud was talking yesterday in the study. I've been saying that all the time. The way things happen to the two of us, I don't like to use that word because it's abused by so many people these days. It's the word supernatural. It's like every man now has suddenly become apostle and prophet, and I just, you know, shrink away from that. I would rather just be a regular servant of the Lord, and the Lord could work whatsoever he will through my life. It's according to his will that I will do things. And Maud was saying that we needed this the following, within a week it happened. We needed that within a week it happened. 2-3 days and it happens. Same day sometimes it happens. We even think of something or consider something and somebody says, you know what, this, that, and the other, and another, and it's exactly in line with what Maud and I on the quiet are thinking and praying about and considering. We've had if I can use it, and I use it humbly before the Lord, a supernatural life that is just, I cannot, if Maud can be coming up here and tell you the same story and give you all the detail, It was a year with a string of miracles for Bord and I that has just gone by. There were the bittersweet moments. There were the sweet moments, but there were the bitter moments when things happened in which I had to take action and place someone under discipline. There were the bitterness and there was the sweet. But mostly, both of us became aware of how everything, oh dear Lord Jesus, it's amazing, how and is still happening, everything is just working out in a specific way. And exactly as we are, you don't really need a word of wisdom, you think about it and then it happens. You consider it or you develop a desire and there it happens. Frank Lobach wrote, open doors, swinging windows. He was a man of immense prayer. And it's just it's the story that's happened to us. Now, here is a man. He was educated with the best of what Egypt had to offer him. Educated with the best of the modern-day world of his time. This is a man of education. Why am I saying that? He grew up in the house of the Pharaoh. And he was with Pharaoh's daughter, and he received the special training of the kings. If you read the story of Josephus, Flavius Josephus, the historian, then you find out how Moses developed even into a great general in the army of Egypt. And there are additional peripheral resources, what we call apocryphal books, that will tell you that he was quite an outstanding person before actually the ripe moment came. Then there was the exit from Egypt when he struck down an Egyptian, and the Egyptian was whipping one of the Israelis. And then after that, the following day, two of his brethren were into a fisticuff or a fight. And he said, this is not right for you to do so. And then the one answered and said, are you going to strike me dead like you did to that Egyptian yesterday? Moses knew that they knew. The story was out and he fled from Pharaoh. He fled into the wilderness. In the wilderness, the land of Midian, one of the sons, family members of Abraham himself. Because after Isaac was born, Abraham married again and there were more children. So he goes to the land of Midian and there he goes to the burning bush. Again, I say, our life is to be viewed. There is a school that takes place. Mostly in the case of all human beings, unwittingly. You go through experiences and you don't even know that it all served to prepare you to do something for God. And when you do something for God, you become extremely blessed, as I have testified earlier. And it's not everybody that's called to fivefold ministry, but there's so many things one can do for God. But the first thing, he was schooled by the Egyptians, the best they had to offer. He was an excellent, obviously, author, writer, first five books of Moses. I've written down here with 79,847 words in total, known as the Torah, or if you would, 304,805 letters. That was his contribution. It's called the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's 304,805,000 letters, or 79,847 words. Those five books are like a block. They don't stop flowing. Every space is used. Every stroke of the pen is with purpose. Those who copy the scriptures in Israel have to go to special schools of training. Because even the slightest twist of the hand on a letter, Pastor Tiens, changes the actual letter. Because that's the way Hebrew is. It's just the iota and the tittle, the yod and the tittle, is just to be written in a specific way with a specific pressure on the pinpoint. So having been so well educated, God now takes this, shall I say, Egypt-educated man, after another 40 years of getting Egypt out of his system, God takes him up onto the place where there is the burning bush experience. I do believe that there is a burning bush experience for every single believer. Believe you me, God has got an appointment with your life. If you haven't had it yet, you'll have it. Be sure, if God's got any purpose with your life, you'll have it. There comes a moment of realization. You'll have it. And you'll know this was God that was busy with your life. If I have to ask testimonies now, I would most probably get lots of testimonies of people, how they had a personal meeting with God and how that changed their lives. How many of you have had a personal meeting with God and can raise your hand and say, and it changed my life forever? Let me see your hands right now in this place. Absolutely. Now this man, given his school and his background and his training, even in warfare, this man, used to a royal lifestyle, the best of the best, is in the wilderness. He's now a shepherd. And this man is to be educated again, this time by God himself. God would take him on the mountain, and God would give him education of a complete different sort. He had the background. He had it all. He was an intelligent man, obviously. Highly intelligent man. And God would write the very first things that were ever written on that mountain. He would write the Ten Commandments with his own finger. Right there, in the presence of Moses, you would see how God is busy writing the Ten Commandments. And then, of course, the situation that happened when he went down the mountain. And, of course, the people were running wild without restraint. Literally, they were having a party. They were worshiping idols. This thing of worshiping idols, let me tell you, I am telling you very clearly, idols are all over the modern day planet, taking people, distracting people. Oh, for sure, the Here weet, there are idols in this modern world that are stealing the people and away from God, and many of them in the process become heroes of this world and land up in hell, including kings of nations, including presidents of many nations. They wind up in hell because they have worshipped those things of this world and elevated them above God. God forbid that that happens to us. Some cut short that cause because of the lack of their spirituality and worldly love that diverts energy to incapacitation or fruitfulness. They're no more fruitful. They're incapacitated. They just become, they don't understand the greater cause. And because they don't understand why they're even there, why they are busy with God, why they are working for God, busy with God, even there in His presence, they don't understand the greater cause. The greater cause in the case of Moses was to bring down, remember I said, the return of the glory? To bring down the glory of God in the midst of the camp of Israel. He would finally be the one to deliver them and take them to the promised land and lead them. This would turn into a man that would perfect obedience, except for one situation where he struck the rock instead of spoke to it. And he wouldn't enter the promised land. And the mysterious disappearance of Moses after his death, much is written in the ancient Talmuds and ancient apocryphal sources, Dead Sea Scrolls, about just what happened there. Now, their lack of spirituality and worldly love diverts their energy, their mindset, their focus to incapacitation or unfruitfulness. Maximum fruitfulness for God is achieved through making sacrifice. Maximum fruitfulness for God is achieved through making sacrifice. Maximum fruitfulness for God. It always involves sacrifice. Let me tell you now, Moses had it, maybe he just had it just fine out there in the wilderness. Maybe he's there, he's got a wife, he's now got family, he's got the sheep there, he's with his father-in-law, and there's plenty of space in the land, there's water, and he's living a good life. He can sustain himself. Why does he have to change that? Because God had a greater purpose. Listen, the call of God on the life of a human being is always bigger than the human being. Let me say that again. The call of God, the vision of God, is always bigger than the person of that vision, to whom the vision is imparted. When God said to Abraham, look at the stars, look at the sand of the sea, Abraham did not even understand fully what on earth God was talking about. Today we know about it. Abraham's vision that God gave him with Isaac was much bigger than what he would realize. Moses standing at a burning bush, what happened to him next was much bigger than taking care of a few sheep out there in the wilderness and being unfruitful. But when you make the sacrifice, when you make the sacrifice, and you can never sweep it aside, you can never just say, I dismiss that, it's not necessary, whatever. Make that sacrifice, then everything changes like on the spot. Moses was educated with all Egypt had to offer in the house of Pharaoh, then he was educated with what God wanted him to know. Now, I want to get into something which I think is very revelatory. And I want to, before I get into this, because this comes from ancient Jewish thinking sources and the Hebrew language, the mother of all tongues of the earth. There's no question about that. Most ancient language of all. Before I get into it, I want to say to you that this is the year that God said to all of us, be fruitful and multiply. This is the year of multiplication. There is something spoken of 9 times in the Bible, like 2019, that is of great significance. And I want to say to you that many people do not quite understand when things happen to them and their lives, that it's part of the schooling for the testing of your faith. The testing of your faith is worth much more than gold, than any precious stone. Now, I want to talk about something here concerning Moses before we get into the discussion. God, in Genesis 1:28, said to the people, we'll get back to Moses, but now I'm taking a sidetrack purposefully. And God blessed them, and God said to them, that's Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Have dominion, yes. Be in control, rule over whatever it is. Be fruitful and multiply. The fruitfulness there refers to fertility. In the Hebrew, it speaks of being fertile. It means that Eve, that was about to become the mother of all mankind, that this woman and her husband Adam would become fertile. And God says, be fruitful. Now, may I just say something to you at this moment in time? I'm going to run ahead of myself, and I'm going to talk about just an expression. We'll get to the quotes and the verse. But you know, have you ever heard about the fruit of the womb? I said, have you ever? How many of you heard about the fruit of the womb? Okay. How many of you today understand that there's the fruit of the trees, and there also the fruit of the earth, like plants that we eat? And in every single case, watch this now. In every single case, pain is involved. When a woman gives birth, there is pain. By the way, how long is she in pregnancy? 9 months. Then the fruit of her womb is released, connected to something called the umbilical cord. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, in every case of birth, God spoke to Eve and said to her, she would give birth with agony, with pain, with the pangs of giving birth. She will bring forth that fruitfulness. Fruitfulness for God involves sacrifice, but fruitfulness always is preceded by pain in world history. There's a difference between the fruit of the trees, the fruit of the ground or the earth, the fruit of your body, which is fertility. Fruit, fruitfulness, productivity are all words with the same root, P-R-I. I quote to you just like that in Hebrew. I have the fruit of my work. The devil won't, because we tithe, he will not destroy the fruit of your labor. Labor itself might be painful. Itself might be something that you haven't got all that much delight in to work so hard. As always, labor is involved. The word amal is the Hebrew word for labor. Labor ends with fruit. The fruit of the womb in Hebrew is pri beten, and that you find in Genesis 3:16. The pain of childbearing. So a child is born from the fruit of the womb after great labor. Luke 1:41, we have another expression, and 42, where we find Elizabeth going to Mary, and then she spoke out with a loud voice. She said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Be fruitful and multiply. Moses doesn't know what's coming to him. He has no idea that all of his training, all of his years, and all of his schooling, and listen, the pain of fleeing for his life would again end in pain of his people in Egypt. Before they were... Now, you remember the words of God that God spoke to Moses, and he said, Moses, Israel is my firstborn. Israel is my son. And if you don't let my son go, I will kill your son. I'll kill your firstborn. The words of God in Exodus chapter 1, 2, and 3. God spoke to Moses, to Pharaoh, says to him, Israel is my firstborn. And if you don't let him go, I will kill your firstborn. which then happened. Before being able to go out of Egypt, they were in labor pains. They were in labor pains. A nation was in labor pains. A nation was crying to God. But the nation had a covenant with God through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were in labor pains. Perhaps today you're in labor pains. Perhaps your circumstances are telling you you're in labor pains and you don't even know what's going on. You don't even understand what's going on. You're calling to God. You're asking God, Lord, change my situation. Oh, they were in labor pains. And then there would be the birth pangs that would follow when God struck the Egyptians with those 10 plagues and finally brought forth his child, as he called it himself, out of Egypt, giving birth to a nation. For 9 months, I was praying for a Bible school to be manifested here on the West Rand. After 9 months, I stepped in 1986, January 1, into full-time ministry and gave birth to the Bible school. You become spiritually pregnant, you don't even know what's going on. Things in life that you experience, you don't even know what's going on. Pain and agony brings forth birth. The number 9 or 9 months is the number of finality. This year is the year of finality because it's the last of the single digits. Then after that, 9 plus 1, or shall I say 9, after that, there is this birth of a new era, a new phase, even in our nation. So, the umbilical cord itself, spiritually, I say unto you, has a most powerful message in the Bible connected to the fruit of the womb. And I am, because of my time constraints, I'm just going to jump ahead now. Mary carried the fruit of her womb was the Son of God, right? She went into labor pain. But she went into more than labor pains. I mean, when she fell pregnant, it was a thing because she was not yet married. There were all kinds of things. You know how people do? They whip you with their tongues. So Mary was this woman that Joseph quickly took for a wife, for his wife. And then from there came the following period, still the 9 months, and someone is born out of that pain. He's called Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The first begotten. Of all of creation. But let me just shoot a little bit further ahead. Analyzing the Hebrew text, and particularly Jewish heavily. Jewish professors on what I'm talking about right now and become Christians and are teachers of Hebrew and Greek. Speaking about another situation, Jesus himself. Do you know that he had to go through pain too? Did you know that he went through the worst pain of them all? You know, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and his soul was in agony. One professor wrote these words. He says, you cannot even explain what a woman's mind goes, what goes through a woman's mind when she has to give birth to a child. You don't, men don't understand that. But a woman's mind, when she's on her way, I've had 4 children, and I was there at the birth of 2 of my children, my last 2 children. I was present. I was with Maud. And I want to tell you something. The giving of birth of a child is something I saw my wife's face at that time. The giving of birth of a child is something you can't explain. A man doesn't understand it. I tried to, but it's beyond my realization. I can't. But a woman can. Now my soul is in agony. And he goes into what Paul describes like this. He says, my children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Galatians 4:19. He goes through all of that. Then there is the death of the cross. And you know what? There's a prophetic psalm that says, I will not be able to get to it now, but I'll get to it tonight. The pangs of death surrounded me. If you're going to the Hebrew, it says the umbilical cords of death. Did you know that death has also got umbilical cords? Wrapped in the umbilical cords of death. That's hell. Pulling that person to the nether world, to the lower parts of the earth. Then I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. Then God raises his son from the dead, and he says to him, thou art my son, this day I have begotten you, I've given you birth. He becomes the firstborn from the dead, which means that there are secondborn and thirdborn and fourthborn. There is a man called Moses, and he's called of God. And he's doing every, let me put it in modern language here, duck and dive to get out of that calling. He's going in every possible way to get out of it. And Moses is making excuse after excuse after excuse. But I want to draw your attention to his final excuse. And where he says, and it's always like, I mean, everybody, when you say, you're called of God. Oh, no, not me. Can't be me. Oh, no, turn it down. No. I'm not interested in it. There's too much involved. There's just way too much involved. You know that this man, Harold Veit, stood in conversation with a minister, Dr. Wernich Kreuer was his name. And I spoke to him and I just mentioned to him about how does the theological college work at the AFM college. And he said these words, do you want to become a pastor? And it was like a pain that struck me on the inside. Immediately I was in birth pain. Immediately I realized, wat het jy nou gesê? Was sagst du? What are you saying to the man? And before I knew, I was in the theological college. In my heart, there was an instant resistance to being educated this way, the God way. Not the Egypt way, the God way. In my heart, immediately was that. But when the baptism hit me and I went through the baptismal pool, die dua bat da is the death of the old man. It's the burial of the old man. When I came out of that thing, I was unstoppable. I stand in the ministry today. I had no idea where I was heading. But now, notice what happens here, and I close with this. But he said, oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Just briefly, this expression. And I've got this from the New Spirit Filled Life Bible. I just love what it says here. It's not the wrath of an indignant monarch, but the intensity of God's love that is involved. God sees his people. God is love. God wants to take a man. God wants to prepare a man. The man makes every possible excuse, but the intensity of God's love for his people, and he's covenant with his people, tells him that there's no way. Go and get Aaron, your brother. I'll be with your mouth and with Aaron. All of your excuses, they don't work. You will be educated by me personally. You will write a book that will never be forgotten, because it is my words that I will put in your mouth, and you will also contain that in a scroll called the Torah. It'll go through the centuries, and the heavens and the earth will pass, but my words shall never pass away. Go get your brother Aaron and get him to your side. He will be with you. You will be to him as God. He was about to face more labor pains. He was about to experience stress, like the worry of a mother if everything's ready for giving birth. It's like the worry of a mother that everything is in place and that it's going to be a normal birth. Like the worry of a mother that there's not going to be too much pain. Moses had every excuse, but God had all total love for his people. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, the first born begotten from the dead, to save you. It's not the intensity of the resistance. It's the intensity of the fiery love of God that brought you to this church today. Would you stand and give the Lord a praise offering, everybody? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Be thou fruitful. Be thou fruitful and multiply. Give birth after these 8 days in the year 2019 with a blood moon beginning the feast, when we have the fire conference. We start with a blood-colored moon and we end in the glory. I am ready for it. Listen, even if I was nobody in this church, I wouldn't miss no, but not nothing. Why? Because of his intensity of his love towards me. Can you say amen? Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Almighty Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you. Today, bring a revelation to your life of his love for you, that he wants to use you, and that you have a calling of your God, of God on your life, and you need to respond to that calling with a definite purpose, a determination, tenacity, stickability, not to be persuaded by anything worldly, of the purpose of God for your life. May God reveal to you in this week his very purpose. The Holy Spirit, move tonight in this place. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you tonight.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.